The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have another Festival Sunday. Last week we had a Festival Sunday. That was the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrated the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Christian Church. Today we celebrate the Holy Trinity and the work that the Holy Trinity does. It's the one day that we get to talk about how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can all be one God. Three gods in one, are three persons as one God. It's a bit baffling, I have to admit. I know I'm confused by it. It's mysterious. I don't know that I will ever understand this doctrine completely because it's just, it's beyond what I can figure out. It's kind of like doing some new math. One plus one plus one equals one. Or three divided by one equals one. It doesn't make sense to us, but it doesn't have to make sense to us. We just simply believe. We believe God and his mystery. We believe even though we may seem to be baffled a bit. But we do catch a glimpse of what all this means as we read through our scriptures this morning. All three of our scriptures kind of fold into this whole idea of one God in three persons, this idea of the Trinity. The Old Testament lesson and the Psalm dwell mainly about speaking about the Father, God the Father. In the Psalm, it talks about the might and the power of God, that the voice of God can blast the forest. It can bend the trees. It can shake the wilderness. It can move the mountains. That power, that majesty, that greatness of God is what the psalm speaks about. The first lesson for today is the call of Isaiah. And Isaiah has a vision. He sees God upon his throne in all the splendor. His robes fill the whole area. There's majesty. There is might. God is being served by some of the heavenly beings, the seraphs, and they're winged creatures, six wings, and they're flying, and they're also shouting back and forth to each other. They're saying, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And as they speak, the whole place just thunders and it roars. And it shows that power and that might and that majesty and that glory of God the Father. That God is in control and God is all powerful and he is worthy of praise and worship and honor. And Isaiah sees this vision and he's in there and he thinks, "I'm in trouble." He says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips and I come from people with unclean lips." He does not feel worthy to be in such a presence of God. But God has a job for Isaiah to do. God singles Isaiah out to be his spokesperson, to be his prophet on this earth. But Isaiah feels unclean, unworthy to do such a task. But God solves that problem. A seraph comes over with a live coal and touches it to his lips, and he is made clean. And God assures him that his sins are blotted out and that he can be a spokesman for God, to serve God in his majesty. Our second lesson for today highlights the work of the Holy Spirit in this Holy Trinity. St. Paul writes that the Holy Spirit calls us and calls us into freedom, into the freedom of the kingdom of God, into the freedom of the family. He contrasts that with earthly leaders. The Jewish leaders call us into slavery into the law, that we must follow the law, and as we know, we cannot follow that law perfectly because we are sinners. And so it is a slavery of the law. The pagan leaders call us into a slavery of fear and of superstition. But the Holy Spirit calls us into freedom, the freedom of the family of God. You know, it's really in your own home with your own family that you can truly be yourself. You know, so many times when we go out in public, we put in that public face. We greet people with a smile, even though we don't feel happy. At work, you may have to listen to whatever your manager or your boss tells you to do and do it. Or you have to put on your boss face and be the manager yourself. You have to be friendly to people you don't want to be friendly to. You have to look like you know what you're doing, even though sometimes you don't know what you're doing. We put on a false face somewhat as we go out into public. Sometimes it needs to be that way. Other times we're insecure or we just don't know how to be ourselves. But when we come home, when we're in the midst of the family, we can truly be who we are. Because if we're not, you're not going to get by with it. Your family knows you too well. And even young children can pick up when you're not being honest with them. And so you truly get to be free when you're at home. Free to be who you are. And that's what the Holy Spirit calls us to be, is to be free of who we are to be. We are free to be the children of God. He calls us his children, his adopted sons and daughters, to be a part of this family, to be a part of this kingdom, to be a part of this church. And we can be truly free in there. We are free to worship God. We are free to do the things that God calls us to do. And that is the work of the Spirit. Calls us into holiness. And keeps us holy, keeps us sanctified, and keeps us holy in the one true faith in the Christian church here on this earth. The gospel lesson for today also highlights some of the work of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus has that conversation with Nicodemus of being born from above or being born again or being born anew, however that verse is translated.
that we are born into the with the water and with the Spirit. We are reborn in our baptisms. That in that baptism, we are assured that we are forgiven of our sins, and the Holy Spirit leads us into the Christian life. But the gospel lesson also focuses upon the work of Christ himself. Now, verse 3:16 is probably one that most of you know. It's one of those verses that just about everybody has heard before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it's been called the gospel in a nutshell because it encompasses all the work of Jesus Christ, of how he came to save us, how he came to this fallen world out of love, and he gave his life for us. But verse 17 is just as important. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. And that is the work of Christ. Christ brings the salvation, and that is much necessary for us since we have fallen from God's gift of creation. We have fallen through that first sin. We are sinful creatures, and we need to be redeemed. We need to be brought back to God and to be made whole and perfect in God's sight once again. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we worship God as Father, the Creator. We worship God as the Son, who is the Redeemer and Savior. And we worship the Holy Spirit as the Sanctifier, the one who keeps us holy. But yet we only worship one God. And it is a bit confusing. It's a mystery to us. We don't always understand. But we don't need to understand to be able to have faith and also to receive the benefits that God gives to us. A number of years ago, a couple of centuries ago, in Europe, in a village in Europe, the bishop was getting a lot of pressure to expel the Jews from that village so that the village could be made pure for Christianity. And so the bishop wrote out an edict saying that all Jews in this village must leave within 3 weeks. Now you can imagine the uproar of the Jewish community there in that village. They were very much upset. This was their home. This was their home they had always known. They had known no other homes. And actually, it had been their home for generations. Where were they supposed to go? They didn't know any other place to go. They didn't know how to go to any other place. This was their home. And so they got together and trying to think of ideas. What can they do so that they can stay here in their homes? And finally, they decided that they would send a spokesman to talk to the bishop. And they selected Moshe, the tailor. So Moshe, the tailor, went to the bishop to talk to him about this edict that says they must leave in 3 weeks. Well, Moshe didn't speak Latin, and the bishop didn't speak Yiddish. So they talked in sign language. And so when they met, the bishop held up 3 fingers. Moshe, in response, held up 1 finger. The bishop raised his hands up. Moshe put his hands down. The bishop pulled out the bread and the wine and held it out to Moshe. Moshe pulled out an apple and held it up. The bishop thought about it for a few minutes, and he ripped the edict apart, indicating that the Jews could stay. After Moshe left, one of the advisors to the bishop came up to him and says, "Bishop, what happened? What made you decide to change your mind about the Jews leaving this village?" And the bishop says, "I couldn't counter his arguments. I started out with reminding him that God is in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." But Moshe countered, "There is only one God. I told him about Jesus rising from the dead and ascending into heaven." And Moshe reminded me that all the people on earth are God's children, that God has created every single one of us, and each and every one of us are his children. I told him about the body and the blood of Christ, how Christ gave his body and blood for us, for our salvation. But Moshe pulled out his apple and reminded me of the fall of man, of how we are all sinners and we are all unworthy of that grace of God. So what could I do? I ripped up the edict and the Jews can stay. Moshe went back to the community of Jews in the village and they were asking, Moshe, what happened? What happened when you talked to the bishop? And Moshe kind of scratched his head. He said, I'm not quite sure. The bishop reminded me once again that we have 3 weeks. You got to leave. And I told him, not one of us is going to leave this village. And he said, yes, all of you must have to leave. And I said, no, we are staying right here. And then he pulled out his lunch, and I pulled out my lunch, and he ripped up his paper. Sometimes we don't understand each other, and certainly we do not understand the mysteries of God, of what God has done for us. We cannot wrap our heads around this whole idea of one God in three persons, of the three distinct personalities, but yet undivided as one God. But yet we can still give worship and praise and thanks and serve him always within his kingdom. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.